And while you're finding that, find Romans chapter number 12. We'll just read one verse in Ephesians 4, and then right over to Romans chapter number 12 we'll go. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 16. Let's pray and we'll get started this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for allowing us to come before the throne of grace this morning. Now I ask you, Lord, as we open up your word this morning, that thy word is truth, O Lord. We know that. I pray, God, this morning as we look into this reality that the Holy Spirit has given us gifts and spiritual gifts, Lord, that we have as believers. I pray, God, this morning that if there's one here that don't know what their gift is, or maybe they know what it is, Lord, but they just don't really know how to apply it. I pray, God, that as a church, Lord, we'll understand that we don't all have the same gifts. So, Lord, some of us do have the same as others. But I pray, Lord, through this study, Lord, that you will allow us to apply the spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit has given us. And, Lord, let us in unity with singleness of heart learn to serve God as one body, but a lot of different members. May each member learn their place and their gift, and Lord, apply it to their lives so that we can further the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bind the devil off this place this morning, off of every mind and heart, Lord. Any distractions that's here, I pray, God, you'll just get rid of them. Lord, just cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit. Allow me to teach and preach with clarity this morning. Lord, thank you for the Sunday school hour, the teachers. Lord, everyone that took time to study your word, Lord, I pray now for this junior church hour, Lord, those children that are going back there, how precious they are. Lord, we know what you think about them, and Lord, we ought to think just as highly of them. Lord, we know they are the future of this church, and Lord, I pray, God, that we'll win them, win their hearts, win their mind, emotion, and will, Lord, that, Lord, maybe one day we'll be preaching to their children and their grandchildren. Lord, we want them to stay. Lord, that sure would be a blessing. Thank you again for all you do. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. I told you a couple months ago I'd been praying about presenting the spiritual gifts to you guys. I know it's not a secret. They're in the Bible. If you've read your Bible, you've read about them. But I'll tell you, when you learn what your gift is, and number one, learn that God, when he saved you, if you're saved, say amen. Amen. This is a message today for saved people. If you're lost, listen, I believe God's word will not return void. He can take a spiritual gift message and convict you unto salvation if he wants to. But I'm speaking today to the church, the born-again believing church that's saved by the blood of the Lamb. If that's you, say amen. Amen. I don't want you to forget it. That's something to be thankful for. Amen. Listen, I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit of God doesn't just save you just so you can go to heaven. He gives you a spiritual gift, and the Bible talks about that we are a body of Christ. Amen. And a body is made up of what? Many what? Members. And every single one of us, listen, there are seven specific spiritual gifts in the book of Romans chapter 12 we're going to read about. But this morning I'm going to challenge you to learn what your gift is. I want you to, as we're going through these things, listen, this is going to be a fun message this morning. You're going to laugh. You're going to smile. I anticipate to see you look at your husband or look at your wife and say, that's why you're like that, or that explains why you think like this all the time. And after church, I guarantee you'll be standing around communicating like, brother, I think I know what your gift is now. And listen, it's fun, but the Bible should be fun sometimes, amen? It should be good to open up the Word of God and learn. I love this study. So if you'll follow along with me in Ephesians chapter number 4, we'll read one verse, and then we'll go to Romans chapter number 12. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16, from whom the whole, what church? Body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the what? There it is again. Body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice it did not say making increase of the member of the body. It said making increase of the body. What causes a body to increase spiritually, a body of church, is when the members together in unity realize, hey, this is my spiritual gift. Although I might think I have that one, but God's given me this one. I'm going to stay out of your body part, and I'm going to learn to do what God asked me to do. And I'm going to further the kingdom of God by doing and using the gift that God has given me. Now listen, I'm not saying you can't have multiple gifts, but I'm going to tell you, after we go through this morning, Lord willing, in the next 30 or 35 minutes, you'll realize that you have a dominant gift. And when you realize that, Start using it. You'll learn your husband, your children. God wired them with spiritual gifts. If they're saved, they have a gift. Learn to encourage them to use their gift. Learn to help your fellow brethren use their gift. Don't try to step into their territory and do their job. God gave them that gift for a reason, and he gave you another gift for another reason. So turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We'll start in verse number 3. Lord willing, we'll get through this morning. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Man, we could preach on that for a while, couldn't we? "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Notice God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. "For as we have many members in" what church? "One body. And all members," here it is, "have not the same" what? There it is. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy," there's the first one, "let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith." You can underline these in your Bible if you write in your Bible. Gift number 2, verse number 7, "or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that," here's number 3, "teacheth on teaching, or he that," number 4, "exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth," that's a gift, by the way, everyone ought to give tithe, but listen, do you realize God blesses some people a little bit more in that area of life and allows them to give more than some? That's another gift, giving. "Let him do it with simplicity." Here's number 6, "he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." I'll just go ahead and tell you, my gift is mercy. I learned that a long time ago. I have always tended to be drawn to the outcast person. I'm usually drawn to the one that most people will look at and say, "Well, I'm drawn to that crowd," and it's natural for me, because I'll tell you what I'm really drawn to is kids that grow up in split homes. I'm drawn to young men who struggle with divorced parents and who just had it rough growing up. I'm drawn to the child to young men who think that the world's against them. I'm drawn to the outcast, and that's just me. But guess what? God wired me like that, and there's got to be some mercies in here with this many people. I guarantee you, as we go through this, you'll realize maybe you're a mercy too. But that's my gift. But let's get into these 7 gifts. You can put your Bibles aside just for a little bit. We're going to go over these gifts here. Gift number 1, prophecy. What is a prophet? Well, let's learn about him. God has motivated the prophet to teach the body of Christ the importance of purity and holiness. They see and verbalize things as black and white. Anybody know anybody like that? It's either black or white, no gray areas. Their frankness may be viewed as harshness and intolerance of partial good. They are God's bloodhounds for sniffing out sin. Now let's just think. Raise your hand if you think you might know a prophet. Now, what we're going to do here is I'm going to give you that introduction to each one. Then we're going to go over some positives to each one of these, some positive traits to the gift of prophecy, and some negative traits to the gift of prophecy. Okay, so now, while you're thinking about maybe yourself or that other person that you're thinking about, see, this is what makes this fun. I know some of you are already thinking, I know somebody like that. Let's go over some positives of the gift of prophecy this morning. Number 1, they need to verbally express. Anybody know anyone that needs to verbally express in here? Everybody does. Number 2, quick impressions of people. These are positives now. Number 3, alertness to dishonesty. Number 4, desire for justice. Number 5, open about their own faults. Number 6, wholehearted involvement. Number 7, loyalty to truth versus loyalty to people. Number 8, willingness to suffer for right. And number 9, on the positive side for a prophet, they are persuasive in defining truth. Now, if you still have someone in mind, let's talk about some negative attributes of a prophet. Number 1, they expose without restoring. You ever know somebody like that? They'll beat you down, beat you down, beat you down, and they don't care how you get back up. They're walking away. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Shame on you, and they're gone. They're not going to tell you. They're not going to sit down there and open up the Bible and say, okay, let's talk about forgiveness. That's not a prophet. Jumping to conclusions, that's a negative attribute of a prophet. Reacting harshly to sinners. Being unforgiving. Condemning themselves. Being impetuous. Cutting off people who fail. Lacking tactfulness in rebuke. And another negative trait for them is dwelling on the negative. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Just raise your hands. How many would say, I think I might know a prophet? Raise your hand. Just raise them up. It's okay. Good. Now, let's be honest. How many would say I might be a prophet? Anybody in here? Okay, good. There's one right there. Good, good. Hey, you're a prophet, Brother Jack. No doubt. 100% prophet right there. Go work with him if you don't believe me. Good. All right, now, gift number two, ministry. God uses the server, or ministry is a gift of serving. God uses the servant to illustrate the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them what? Do unto you. They love to help their fellow man. They are alert to detecting and meeting practical needs with an inability to say no. They will give you the shirt off their back and finish a job with unexpected extra service. They usually have too many irons in the fire. Anybody know anybody like, oh, I see some eyes going right and left. There we go. This is getting good. All right, let's talk about some positives of the servant. They see and they meet practical needs. They free others to achieve. They disregard for, or they have a disregard for weariness. They have difficulty saying no. They're alert to likes and dislikes. They need approval. These are positives. They like short-range projects. They put extra touches to jobs. And they meet needs quickly. Now, those are positives to a servant or the gift of ministry. Now, here's some negatives. They'll give unrequested help. You ever met somebody like that? You're standing there and you're busy and you're busy and you're clearly working. All of a sudden, no. You're a servant, but look, stay in your path, right? Here we go. How about this one? I'm trying to look this away, brother. I told you this was going to be fun. You might need some marriage counseling after. We'll be all right, too. We can handle that, too. They let things be too important. Work beyond physical limits. Neglect God-given priorities. Now, these are negatives. Reacting to overlooked needs. Resenting lack of appreciation. Working people around their schedule. Being frustrated with time limits. And they interfere with God's discipline. Now, with that said, how many say, I think I might know someone that has the gift of serving or ministry? Good. Now, how many might say, that might be me? Oh, there we go. Some more hands. Good. I told you this was going to be fun. Gift number three, the gift of teaching. And again, listen, these are not bad things. See, the Holy Spirit gave you these gifts for a reason. We've got to take these positives and these gifts and just further the kingdom. The gift of teaching. The teacher, here we go, enjoys research. I wasn't looking at nobody. As much as teaching, God has motivated them to maintain the purity and accuracy of the Word of God. They test the knowledge of those around them. They enjoy learning and accumulating information. The requirement for verbal and written accuracy may appear judgmental and prideful of learning. They love books and knowledge. Now, what are some good about a teacher? Well, these day and age, we can say a lot of good about our teachers. Amen. But how about this? They need to validate information. They check out other teachers. When I say check out, I mean they test them. They don't just take their word for it. You know what I mean? They go and prove it. They rely on established resources. They present truth systematically. They gather many facts. I know a lot of people like that. They require thoroughness. They're uneasy with subjective truth. They confirm with accepted teachers. and they clarify misunderstandings. Now, those are all positives. Now, what about misuses of the gift of teaching? Well, they become proud of their knowledge. You ever met someone like that? They despise lack of credentials. They depend on human reasoning. They criticize practical applications. They show off their research skills. They reject scriptural presuppositions. Putting mind above the Holy Spirit. Taking teachings to extreme. And they argue over minor points. Now, how many would say, I think I might know a teacher? Here we go. A few more. His hand went up. Look at that. I like it. I love it. Look, again, as you're learning these things, this is good for you as a church to learn this about your fellow laborers, okay? Because I'm telling you, when you take the gift that God's given you and we all put our gift to work, the devil's going to have a real hard time stopping our church. You understand what I'm saying? We're working in unity with singleness of heart, with one accord unto God, using our gifts, staying out of other people's lanes, letting God use them, and they use their gift through the power of the Holy Ghost. There's not much the devil can do. So we've went over prophecy. Some of you say you know some prophets. Some of you say you might know some ministers or some servants. Some of you say I know some teachers. Well, how about an exhorter? Anybody want to take a guess at who an exhorter was in the Bible? I'll read the definition and then I'll see if you can get it, okay? God has motivated the exhorter to assist the body of Christ in solving its problems by revealing cause and effect laws. An exhorter specializes in one-on-one counseling. They enjoy straightening out crooked things by prescribing specific biblical steps of action to solve problems. They need to be cautious not to put confidence in their own counsel, but counsel from the Word of God. I'll give you a hint. Half the New Testament, he wrote it. Paul, there it is. Good job. He most certainly was an exhorter. So what are some positives to an exhorter this morning? Well, they're committed to spiritual growth. I would say that's a positive, wouldn't you? Number two, they're able to see the root problem. We talk about it all the time in counseling. We say, well, what's your problem? Well, I'm just angry. Well, I call that a side effect of a what? A root problem. There's a reason that you're angry. You're not just naturally an angry person and bitter for nothing. God didn't design you like that. Something happened. There's a reason why these side effects take place. So they're able to see the root problems. And they see steps of action. What are the proper steps to get and fix this root problem? They raise hope for solutions. Man, aren't you glad that the Bible gives us hope? I know I am. They turn problems into benefits. They desire to be transparent. They gain insight through experience. Urgency to act on clear steps. And the last positive for them is to desire to share face to face. Now, here's some negatives to the exhorter. Keeping others waiting on them all the time. You ever met someone like that? Looking to themselves for solutions. Being proud of visible results. Starting projects prematurely, like playgrounds. Y'all can testify to that. Thank the Lord for YouTube. Treating people as projects. Sharing private illustrations. Bragging all the time. This is what I did. This is what I did. This is what I did. Not realizing that God gave you that gift and you should be giving that glory to God. Presenting truth out of balance. Setting unrealistic goals. You ever met someone that does that? I'm going to do this and this and this. Well, you're six. You're seven. But you're going to be a billionaire. Setting unrealistic goals. Giving up on uncooperative people. You ever met someone like that? They'll just say, you know what? Can't take it no more. Hands up. Now, how many would say I might know an exhorter? More hands are starting to go. This is good. I like it. I love it. All right. Here's the next one. The gift of giving. And God bless givers. You know, I could sit here and tell you story after story after story about givers that not necessarily have made a difference in my personal life, but within the church, I have seen men stand up and write $50,000 checks. I've seen $80,000 checks show up in the mail from random people that paid off church bills. Listen, I'm telling you, God has given this gift to certain people. And can I say, I still today don't know the name of the man that wrote an $80,000 check and sent it randomly, anonymously in the mail to Resurrection Bay Baptist Church. He visited the church one time, sent an anonymous check to pay off our church building. Don't know his name. You know what God gave him the gift of? Giving. You know why God gave him a lot of money? Because he gives a lot of money. And he don't boast about it. He's not proud about it. He didn't want a memorial in his memory on the wall outside. Hey, did y'all hear what I said? He didn't want that. He didn't want to be noticed. He just wanted, God said, hey, I'm going to give you the ability to do this, son, and I want you to do it. And you know what he did? He did it. Still don't know his name. God knows his name. This gift is a very, I don't think a ton of people have this gift, but I do think every church has givers in them. And when I say givers, again, I'm not necessarily talking about giving your tithe in obedience. That's not a spiritual gift to pay your tithe, okay? That's just not. That's called obedience. But giving, we can look at Matthew. The giver loves to meet the financial needs of those around them. God uses them to teach us two basic principles. It is more blessed to give than to what? Receive. And to give in secret. They like for their giving to motivate others to give. They live very frugally and do not respond well to pressure appeals to give. Did you hear what I said? They respond to the Holy Spirit who says, hey, I want you to meet this need. They don't respond to beggars. They're not the kind of guy that's going to give the panhandler money at Walmart every time he goes by. That's not the gift, okay? It's when the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to meet this need. And by the way, giver, if you're out there, God ever tells you that, he's already given you the means to do it, okay? So here's some positives about the giver. They're able to see resources. They invest self with gift. They desire to give high quality. They hope the gift answers prayer. They desire to give secretly. They concern that giving will corrupt. They exercise personal thriftiness. You say, what's thriftiness? Well, it's the quality of being careful with money or resources, especially by avoiding waste. They exercise that, and that's a good thing to do. And they use gifts to multiply giving. And the last positive here is they confirm the amount with counsel. Here's some negatives about a giver, though. Hoarding resources for self. You know somebody like that? Using the gift to control people. You know, if God gives you the ability to help a family or a man or a lady or a child in need, listen, don't ever give and hold that over their head. If God gave you the ability to help someone, it's like this. Give it and be thankful that God allowed you to do it. You understand what I'm saying? Don't hold it over their head because, listen, now you have ruined your blessing that God had designed for you. Well, you remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this. No, don't do that. Just give, and don't give begrudgingly. Forcing higher living standards. They feel guilty about personal assets. Listen, if God's given you money and you're taking care of your family and you're paying your tithe and you're giving to missions and you're being obedient to God and you have nice things, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody okay? Nothing wrong with that. But here's the deal. If you have all these nice things and God says, hey, I might want you to give more, but you say, well, I can't get this new thing if I give that to the Lord. Now there's something wrong with it. You see what I'm saying? Now there's a problem. You should never put your personal gain before God. Number six, negatives on givers. They give sparingly to family. Giving to projects versus people. They cause people to look at them versus God. And they wait too long to give sometimes. Kind of like waiting just to see what's going to pan out. Again, if you're a giver, you should always, you know, obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Gift number six. I won't ask you if you know any givers. I want you to keep that to yourself. Gift number six, the gift of ruling. The ruler has the God-given ability to bring organization and discipline to their surroundings. They can keep several projects going at one time and delights in delegating tasks to responsible people. They are fulfilled in seeing all the pieces of the project or puzzle come together, and others enjoy the finished project. To some, it may look as if they love projects and use people. Here's some positives to a ruler. You could think of James in the Bible. They're able to visualize the final results. Anybody ever been like that? You start a project, I can just see the final result. I know what it's going to look like, but what do we got to do to get there? They need loyalty in their associates. They have the ability to delegate. They withstand reaction to task. They make jobs look easy. I've been on some jobs, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not a ruler. Not even close. I've been on some jobs, and the first thing I'll ask is, how in the world are we going to get this to do that, to look like that? And the guy behind me is like, simple. I'm like, all right, man, you take charge. That's right, YouTube. He's like, it's like this. You know, listen, God gave some people the ability to have this, but some he did not. And listen, if you don't have this gift, don't try to have this gift, okay? Just don't. They're very alert to details. They complete tasks quickly. They're able to be decisive. And their completion involves cleanup. Did you guys hear that? Completion involves what? Cleanup. So, rulers, there's some positives to rulers. Here's some negatives to rulers. Viewing people only as resources. You ever met someone like that? They don't want you till they need you. You understand what I'm saying? Don't want you till they need you. Building loyalty with favoritism. Using delegation to avoid work. Being unresponsive to appeals. Putting projects ahead of people. Overlooking workers' serious faults. Failing to explain or praise. Forcing decisions on others. Losing interest in the finished job. How many would say, I think I might know a ruler? Amen. Praise the Lord. And here's the last one, the gift of mercy. And then we're going to go over a couple of scenarios, and then we'll just let you go home and talk about this for the next week. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed yourself this morning. The gift of mercy. This is the last one, or compassion. We think of John in the Bible. The mercy naturally gravitates to those who are hurting, especially in their emotions. God uses this gift to teach us how to be tenderhearted and compassionate with our fellow man. They love children, and the elderly are often attracted to pets or stray animals. They react to insensitive people and may take up another's offense. They are huggers, and they cry easily. Here's some positives. Now pay attention. If you are a mercy, pay attention to these right here. Now, this is good. Deeply loyal to your friends. The need for deep friendships. Why? Because usually God wires a mercy. It's someone that has came out of someone that's been rejected. You see what I'm saying? They've lived in that life of like, nobody cares, nobody loves me. And then when they find someone that they kind of sort of, you know, they want to trust them, but man, they need that deep, deep, deep friendship. You know what I'm saying? Empathize with hurting people. Decisions based on benefits. Deeply sensitive to loved ones. They attract people in distress. Desire to remove hurts. They measure acceptance by closeness. Now pay attention to this one. They're attracted to prophets. Did you hear me? You see, opposites attract, right? They're attracted to prophets. Here's some negatives for the mercy. Taking up offenses. Becoming possessive. Tolerating evil. You got to be careful with this gift because you have such a gift of mercy, you don't want to hurt nobody. You'll tend to overlook something when something bad happens instead of, you know, exhorting them, reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and what? Doctrine. Instead of saying, hey, brother, sister, this ain't right, you'll just accept it because you're scared to lose that friendship. You don't want to hurt nobody. But don't do that. Failing to be firm. Leaning on emotions versus reason. Defrauding the opposite sex. Reacting to God's purposes. Failing to show difference or deference. And cutting off insensitive people. So now, how many would say, I think I might know a mercy? Lots of hands going up. Now here, I'm gonna take you through two scenarios here, and we're going to read what each gift would do in that scenario. And this should help you solidify who you just might be. Okay? So of seven Christians representing each of the motivational gifts, spiritual gifts, visited a sick person in the hospital, here's what each one might say based on the perspective of his gift. Well, the prophet would say, what is God trying to say to you through this illness? There's some sin you haven't confessed yet. Doesn't that sound like some people? The organizer would say, don't worry about a thing. I've assigned your job to four others in the office. You see what I'm saying? The mercy would say, I can't begin to tell you how I felt when I learned how you were sick. How do you feel now? The servant would say, here's a little gift. Now, I brought your mail in, I fed your dog, I watered your plants, and I washed your dishes. You ever met someone like that? See, there you go. The teacher, I did some research on your illness, and I believe I can explain what's happening. Doctors, they've done blood work, they don't know, CAT scan don't tell anything, but Dr. Google can tell us it all, right? That's the teacher. They did some research. The giver, do you have insurance to cover this kind of illness? You see, those are natural. Listen, we all have natural different responses to what's going on, do we not? But in reality, it's a gift that God has given us, and we've got to understand it. What would the exhorter say? How can we use what you are learning here to help others in the future? That's what an exhorter would say. Now, here's another scenario. This one's kind of funny. If each of the seven spiritual gifts were represented in family and someone dropped the dessert on the floor, here's what each one might say and why they would say it. Let's start with the prophet. That's what happens when you're not careful. What's their motivation? To correct the problem, right? What would the server? Look, we got people pointing. This is so good. I love this stuff. The servant would say, oh, let me help you clean it up. What's their motivation? To fulfill a need. The teacher, the reason that it fell is that it was too heavy on one side. Motivation to discover why it happened. Right? I love it. The exhorter, next time let's serve the dessert with the meal. The motivation to correct the future. Right? The giver, I'll be happy to buy a new dessert. To give to a tangible need. See, that's a simple man right there. The mercy, don't feel bad. It could have happened to anyone. What's the motivation behind the mercy? To relieve the embarrassment. And the organizer. Jim, would you get the mop? Sue, please help pick it up. Mary, help me fix another dessert. Motivation to achieve the immediate goal of the group. Now listen. I hope that this has been a help to you. I love teaching this stuff, and I'll probably do this yearly as our church grows. You know, I want to keep doing this. How many had a good time learning this stuff today and going over this? I love, you know, you don't always have to get preached at so hard. I love preaching. Don't get me wrong. I believe that preaching is convicting, and I love it, but I also believe in spiritual growth, and I think it's important that you as a group of believers learn your spiritual gift. Now, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. You don't have to come to the piano, Miss Barb. We're not going to have an invitation. I just want to ask a couple of questions. No one looking around. I want you to be honest this morning. Nothing serious. I just want to know how many of you would say, Brother Drew, I think that I learned what my spiritual gift is this morning. Would you just raise your hand and say, this morning I think I confirmed what my spiritual gift is. Now listen. How many would say, I think I might have learned what my spouse's spiritual gift is this morning? Good. How many would say, I think I learned what some of my children's spiritual gifts are this morning? There we go. Listen, folks, this is how God designed it. You can look up. This is a good thing that you're learning this stuff, because now you're going to learn. When Brother Suter is here, you're not going to want to miss. He's going to do a lesson on how God wires children. You're going to want to be here that day. I mean, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, listen. Bring your kids in. They'll want to hear this stuff. It will be fun for you. I promise you, you'll not regret it. But this right here is so, so, so important. I challenge you this week. Take what God has shown you this week. If you know what your gift is now, go home, access that thing, ask God, say, Lord, thank you so much for clarifying my gift. Now let me put it to use to further your kingdom. Amen? Yes, sir. I think you'll always have a dominant gift. dominant gift for sure, but no doubt you have attributes of other gifts for sure. But God always gives you a dominant gift that will that you will have for sure. Any more questions? Anybody need counseling? All right, listen, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for just, Lord, the smiling faces, the laughs this morning, Lord, the ability to just open up your word, Lord, and just learn some things, God, about who we are, and Lord, how miraculous your Holy Spirit really is, and what you have given to us. Now, God, help us take these gifts and go home and talk about them, Lord. I'm anticipating the conversations here in just a moment, Lord, between the church, and I pray, God, that you'll let this solidify some of the things in our minds about why is this person like this, why is this person like that, Lord. It's because you wired us like that. And Lord, I thank you for how you wired me, Lord. I thank you for giving me, Lord, the ability to have mercy, God. I thank you for giving me that gift. And Lord, I just want to use it to further your kingdom. Now, Lord, be with us now as we go our separate ways. Bring us all back tonight as we get into more about some soul ties. God, I pray, God, you'll bless that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Look at that, right on the dot.